Welcome to Redeeming Qualities, the podcast in which we strive to find redeeming qualities in current topics, old topics, or whatever the hell we feel like talking about. I am the fattest Fez, your brown guide to unenlightenment. I am joined, as always, by the dirtiest Dan and the mustiest Marks. Introduce yourself, guys.
Oh, it's Musty Mark, Rastafari Unicorn on Instagram, Mark Boyd on Facebook, Your Neighborhood Simp on Twitter, Sad Boy Marco on Spotify, and that's really it.
My bad. Said the whoa too early, but the Twitter handle, I like it.
Yeah, it's the truth.
So I'm just Danny or whatever. Excuse me, whatever you want to call me. Don't really have a social media presence. I might do it one day. I'm particularly episode excited today because we haven't done anything guest related. I believe we've talked about it on the podcast previously. But today I got a really good friend of mine from when we were all stationed at the same unit together. And his name is Casey Carroll White. Casey, you want to say hi to everybody?
Yo, what's up? Hey, you don't have to drop my middle name like that.
Oh, bad plug. My bad. Sorry, but I just like that's always been a thing.
You know, I do like the Musty Mark, Dirty Dan, and Fat Fez. That's pretty good. that was meant to be.
Should we bring your deep throat white down again then, or we'll leave that one? We'll leave that one off.
Yeah, and Danny just dropping that.
Jumping in, jumping in.
Just throwing out an androgynous middle name, and then really laying it in with a deep throat nickname. Jesus,
I should have lubed him up first. You're right. Wow, Casey, sorry, I just like really threw you out there. But I'm really excited today because Casey and I had a lot of really crazy, crazy stories together from like ridiculous things that we did together while we were spent in 29 Palms and in Afghanistan also. So particularly excited today because Fez hadn't ever really met him. White knows us pretty well, and I think it'd be interesting for Fez to try to learn a little bit more about Mark and myself from the time prior to him arriving at our unit, and see if it lines up with who he really thought we were while we were stationed there.
And it's hard to remember all those little things because I've definitely forgotten about Deep Throat White. That was not something that I've ever
I'm sure you forgot about that one.
Conveniently,
of all the ones you can forget
repressed
about.
Is probably more of an apt term.
Yeah. We're going to forget the fact that you used to show people you could just shove a hot dog down your throat. Hey, guys, watch this. You don't have that skill anymore?
No, I do, for sure.
Exactly.
Always.
Exactly. I mean, just own it, man.
Yeah.
Own it. It's freeing. And we only have like 30-something people that listen to us anyway.
Yeah. Well, if they didn't know, they now know.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and kick it off with the first question I have. Really, if this is just my time to embarrass Mark and Dan. What is the one pivotal moment that you can remember of them that basically describes that you're like, okay, this is a person that I know who they are and I'm going to like them?
Ooh, who's this question for? Just to Casey?
Casey.
Okay, perfect.
You know, to be honest with Mark, it's kind of a combo. Both of them love to roast people. And we would sit there and just roast, not just like each other in a group, but everyone around. Every time someone said something that might indicate they did something dumb or something, it was just roast for as long as possible. And that's the most fun you can have.
Yeah. You
want to go to Mark?
You want to go to Danny or
no, go. Mark, you go.
Okay. I mean, so there was, you know, a group forming while we were overseas. I watched, you know, I watched Danny and I watched Carballo and White. They got super close. Darren too, you know what I'm saying? They just clicking up, but I saw them laughing all the time. But you know what? When we got back, you know, more, and I still think about this, there was a part where we were at the beach We were at the beach, and we were at a bar. Wow, this just hit me now. I'm talking about
Huntington.
We were at Huntington, I think, one of the times, and Nicki Minaj was playing, and I did like a little remix of Nicki Minaj, and White happened to be standing right next to me, and he was like, "I did this remix in my voice." He's like, "Bro, that's sick. Dude, that's sick as fuck." And I was just like, yeah, you have an ear. And you were doing DJ shit, you know what I'm saying, with Washburn. And so I just felt like at that moment, and I know that's so much after, but like right then is when I was more like, oh, this is a cool, this motherfucker here, I get, you know, a lot more here. We were already friends then, but like that was really where like, oh yeah, you're a cool motherfucker for real. So that's me. That's my shit. You don't even remember that, do you, Casey?
To be honest, no. Yeah. That was probably a night where I drank more than I should.
Yeah, Casey got a pretty shit memory on top of it too. So like he fits in.
Yeah. I wonder if I just suppress shit or if
probably.
I actually don't remember things.
I don't know for you guys, but for me it's easy to get like close to somebody on deployment because you don't have shit to do anyway. It's just like the gym, eating food, and then like talking in the smoke pit. And he was always out there.
Yeah, I was telling my wife recently that we used to sit in the smoke pit for like 3 hours or more and do nothing but just talk, whether it was talking about things you've done individually or what we've all done together or just making fun of someone. Those are times that are like I'll always remember for sure.
Yeah, did. We missed a good opportunity. Me and Mark brought this up. Maybe a couple weeks after we started the podcast, we talked about being in the smoke pit. We're like, damn it, that's what we should have called the podcast, was the smoke pit, because it kind of defines what we're still doing. It just, you know, we give ourselves a little bit of a topic, but there's, you know, Marines in a smoke pit can just BS, and some of the best tidbits of wisdom and the funniest moments all happen in a smoke pit. So
yeah. True. You learn some good things from like people you consider dumb. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, I never thought about that way. And it just makes you realize, like, everybody's got something to contribute, you know?
Even if it's to learn what not to be from somebody.
Exactly.
People.
There's always a lesson to be learned.
That's right.
I was kind of wondering, because I just recently dropped my cell phone. And then I was wondering, with the iPhone, like, I don't know a single person that, like, has not cracked or busted their iPhone, and mine, like the back of it busted, and now I can't do the wireless charging, so I have to go out and like buy a regular charger or whatever. But I was thinking, if Steve Jobs was still around, do you think that we would have got a resilient iPhone by now? Because every version they have always ends up busting at some point, and it's like, you know, $200 to fix a screen or bring it in, or it's just to get their Apple Care purchase. Because from what I understand, in developing the iPhone in the first place, he was like all about trying to give them exactly what they wanted.
So was there a question in there? I'm sorry.
Do you think Steve Jobs would actually create an iPhone that's resilient, that wouldn't bust and fall apart if he was still alive? Or do you think he would just keep doing what it is today?
I think it would just keep doing what it is today. I think he's very proud of the product that he made, and basically everything we get is just a continuation of what was done before.
Yeah, but like when it was initially made, people were like, he was like, hey, this needs to be smaller, you know, and they were like, well, we can't really make it smaller. And then when they realized, like, he took the device and threw it into water and bubbles came out, he's like, there's still space in there, utilize it, you know. I just feel like if somebody like that is like that determined to give something to the people, do you think he just stopped because he got a bunch of money and he didn't care anymore?
No,
or
I think
like,
I don't,
if he would have actually given people what they want. Cause like I bust phones all the time and I always have a case on it, and it's like a small slip out of my pocket.
Now, I think it was a person that was defined by vision, not by money. Success was, I think monetary success was a byproduct of
afterthought.
A good vision. I mean, I think it was always in the forefront. I think he was always marketing. I think he was great at it. But I just think that he also wanted something that didn't need his marketing, if that makes sense. He wanted something that stood alone without him.
Jack.
Okay, we got Danny, Casey,
yep.
And wondering what's going on with Mark. I mean, it's amazing that we could all be in a different state and have this ability to all talk to each other, but
hey, you can't bash the sponsor.
What's that?
You can't bash the sponsor on the sponsor's thing.
I mean, I think they're improving.
Yeah, they're great. That's true.
I mean, I pay nothing for this, and I'm able to do this with what I already have, so it's fantastic.
I also had a listener say, like, hey, is, like, did everybody upgrade their sound stuff, or is Fez just getting, like, I noticed that it sounded better. And I was like, yeah, I think Fez is just getting a little more acquainted with the editing tools on Anchor.
That is a lot of it. And I'm more okay, like, because we've been recording longer, I'm more okay deleting a lot of stuff when the sound quality goes to crap.
Yeah. I'll delete the whole iPhone conversation, because who fucking cares about Steve Jobs?
Bro, I was like, wow, way to start this thing.
Right? I was going to pick a different one, but I didn't want to make the funny stuff up front. And my other topics are so much better. I was just waiting on Mark. I thought it'd be real quick. And then, I'm talking and talking and talking because I was waiting for Mark.
Oh, boy.
Hey.
What's cracking? Mark. Sorry about that.
No, you missed that.
What are you doing?
So we're like, hey, Mark's disconnected. And Danny's like, yeah, I'll bring up the first topic.
And I want to talk about. I was trying to stall because you were gone. And then it was
No.
What was the first subject?
iPhone. And then Fez is all retarded with his answer. He's taking everything literal. He can't even come up with anything funny.
Yeah. You know what? All right. Let's.
Yeah, fuck you, Fez.
He said if Steve Jobs was still alive, would the iPhone be more non-breakable?
It's like a six-year-old.
More non-breakable. Yeah, for the dummies out there.
That'd be like my kids later when they ask
me. Mark, let me ask you. Shut up. I'm going to ask Mark. No. He could actually make it worth a worthwhile topic. Mark, if Steve Jobs was still alive, do you think the dude would give us a more resilient iPhone? Because, how many times have you busted an iPhone?
No, he wouldn't, because he was about the theory of obsolescence, bro. He wanted things to break down.
Boom.
Damn, I did not know that about him. And now I'm shut up. Boom. Okay. You win. Let's go.
All right. You know, now that Casey just
proved myself fucking retarded. Let's go.
Yes, absolutely.
He was the main one that made it. He was.
I didn't know he believed in the theory of obsolescence. To be honest,
right,
that
he was
changes
not about
everything.
Yeah,
like, in the beginning, he started out like he wanted to give everybody exactly what they wanted, and he would do shit like throw a phone in a fish tank, and if it bubbled, he's like, "There's still space in there, right?" So I was thinking maybe if the fucker was alive, he might give us a better phone
now. There was a balance between making a phone that would last forever and also these updates to these phones that we keep having. People are not going to get them unless
the software, but like,
no, the hardware too, a better screen and a fucking better, all that, and a better camera. So in order to get that in people's hands, he had to make it so that, oh, there's not this plug anymore. Oh, there's not this anymore. Oh, there's not that anymore.
Gotcha. Now, he was just taking the market.
Yes.
Boom. See, way more interesting talking to Mark about it.
No. That's because you went in it with energy, with something to prove, because you know the first time you brought it up, it sucked the fat.
I was just, it did suck.
It sucked the fat.
I was the one that called it out. I'll give that to you.
All right. So
God,
let's go ahead and talk about.
Just put me in my place. I love it.
You suck and you're a bitch. Next topic.
You don't know how to bring up topics.
Get it.
This is why you sit down when you pee. It all makes so much sense.
First of all, I got a buddy that's his thing.
No one cares. I don't remember. All right, so let's talk about Amy Carlson.
Who the fuck is Amy Carlson?
She was a cult leader that was found mummified.
Oh,
in a sleeping bag.
I know who you're talking about.
I hope you do. Mark shared the link with you.
I forgot about
it. Act like
I don't remember the name.
I also researched it. Mark, put it in a link.
Yeah, I don't remember her name.
Well, that's not my fault. I don't know.
Get all specific.
Okay, so anyway,
you guys okay, man? There's some tension, bro. Here,
there's some tension.
It's all sexual. It's good.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit ago, Daddy was talking about dicks and big hangers and all these different things.
We got him riled up earlier.
All right. So, anyways, I just love, like, you know, the family's like saying she, you know, she didn't deserve this. She was the leader of a cult. And my favorite part about this whole story is, you know, she's like, she believed in all of these reincarnations.
Mm-hmm.
And the two reincarnations that she picks is Jesus Christ and Marilyn Monroe. And mm-hmm. it just made me laugh. It was like, this is like those girls' profiles that'll be like, I'm kind of nerdy, but also kind of slutty. It's like, it's funny because it's like, like she's trying to bring other cult people in by, you know, like, oh, I'm Jesus Christ and Marilyn Monroe. It's like, they don't even go together. It just made me laugh.
Yeah. I like Mother Teresa and Idi Amin. Like,
oh, if you, you know, that's a, if you were going to be a cult leader and you were a reincarnation, who would you be?
Ooh, what a good question.
Wow.
I would want to be Jesus Christ. But that's not my person.
That's not my person. I was going to say, are you... You call that a cult?
That's not my person, bro. I was saying his name in vain. I would want to be Gandhi and Kanye West.
Okay, and their church, their cult was the Love Has Won. What would the Gandhi Kanye West cult be called?
It would be college. I'm trying to mix up a Kanye a name. Jesus. I don't know, man. I'm trying to mix a Kanye verse with a Gandhi thing. Experiments with the life of Pablo. Ooh, see? Because Gandhi's autobiography was Experiments with the Truth. So Experiments with the Life of Pablo. There we go. All right. That was not good, but I tried my best.
Swing and a miss.
All right, Danny, what do you got?
I don't have shit. I don't even know what the topic is.
Better than that.
Am I creating a cult based off of historical figures, and then I just create what the fuck they do?
You have infinite reincarnation.
Honestly, I feel like this is a setup because I'm the German. Like, you guys are trying to get back on this I'm a Nazi somehow train.
No one went there.
Oh, no. I was anything you said, I was going to call you a Nazi.
Mark's like, no matter what, that's where it was going.
He felt it. He was like, I don't give a damn what you said.
Honestly, I just, I want to be me. I want to do my own cult, you know? Like, I don't know what we would do, but, like, I feel like I could totally do a cult thing. You know, like, I don't know, probably a sex cult. Like, I mean, isn't that what every cult is at its roots? It's like some dude but just wants to fuck.
You're
going to
be different. You're gonna be all dudes.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, first of all, can I interject a new question real quick? It'll be like a sub question to the bigger topic, but like, if you could be truly gay, right? Like, you actually desired men. Like, I don't know if you guys do or not. Like, Casey, you're probably the closest in the group that I know personally. Like, I would question in that, wow. You know, but like. Honestly, if I could be into dudes, like, I would totally do it. Like, I just feel like the experience would be so much easier. Like, maybe it's because I don't have many emotions, and I feel like men are a little better suited for that. But, like,
how is this a sub-question?
Is it too deep?
You coming out on a podcast.
Am I gay? Is that the problem? Like, that's the problem.
No, you just started. We just asked you which what historical figure would start a cult. Now you're questioning your sexuality. God damn.
You're right.
I was expecting a cult. Wow. All right,
Michael, I'm going to lead a cult, and we're going to make, I don't know, meal prepping. Like, I hate making food. I wish I could just have a service where like these people just do what I want. Like, I go camping, I'm like, pull up to the spot, they set up camp, and then they bounce, you know? And then like, if I want a couple to hang back, I'll be like, you here and you here, like, you can stay, you know? Everybody else, thanks for your help. Here's your tip. Like, I don't know, something simple. I don't need to go up
hey,
on
Danny,
and control
what's your,
the world.
What's your favorite fast food? You know, men are a lot easier.
I swear, everybody at work says I'm 7/8 gay anyway, so like, I might as well go for the full.
All right, so Casey, same question to you. You got a cult, What do you do?
Do I got to talk about being gay, maybe?
Hilarious.
Being gay, maybe. You could try to defend your position.
I like where the emphasis was. Like, the maybe was you were really hoping you get
it. No, Casey, don't give me... Casey, you done some such shit, bro, from what I remember.
Exactly.
So, let's just quick story time. We all went to MGM Grand, got a fucking nice-ass hotel and fucking suite, and Casey goes in there and be like, where's the bidet? Like, he wants to run. Do they have a bidet here? I want to find it. Like, he wanted to go get water on his butthole as soon as he could.
You don't get a bidet too often, man.
You don't get to sit on a bidet that often. And since I've tried one, they are delightful and wonderful. I will admit it.
Honestly, game changers. Unless you've never used one of the hose ones before and you're doing it for your first time in public. I had an accident that way.
No. What?
We can't go to poop stories again, though. We just did poop stories. And, like, I got a ton of poop stories. Like, we got to go off of that. Like,
All right. I'll go ahead and finish up. I think I would go with Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan was rough.
And Robin Williams.
What?
Whoa.
How'd you... You prepped for this hard.
Yeah, this is some bullshit.
That is unfair. That's a good one. Like,
well, I prepped because I asked the question and I let you guys answer. And I'm like... but you're
trying to make us feel dumb.
I forgot there was people that you were supposed to answer with.
I feel like if anybody could make it easy, like, you know, like if you murder an entire population and your spokesperson is Robin Williams,
right?
I mean, you're gonna get away with everything.
Anything.
I mean, he would just do his little, you know, his fast talking, like, oh, look at all these dead people over here, and then, you know, say something great, and he would.
Oh, he'd have you distracted the whole time.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
He'd be doing all the kinds of voices. It'd be fantastic. So if I could choose my cult embodiment and my reincarnations, it'd be those two.
That's good.
Big in the news is, I'll go ahead and introduce this topic because first off, I had to get all this information from my daughter because I had no idea what was going on. Floyd Mayweather apparently got his hat stolen. Now, the first thing I have to say about this is I had no idea who the person was. And I will I'll give you a quick synopsis of the conversation I had with my daughter. I said, do you know who this Logan Paul is? And she's like, Logan or Jake? And I was like, oh, God. Now I don't even know what I'm talking about. Now, apparently there's two brothers. They're YouTube creators. Okay, so I'll get into the conversation that we had. She said, they are the most annoying creators. He's like, they could be as good as Kylie Jenner. But one of them went into the suicide forest and showed dead bodies. And then he tried to apologize. But it was too late. No one should film in the suicide forest. And then, so that was her synopsis of their entire, you know, life. And then she got confused because she also couldn't tell the difference between them. So I definitely appreciated that.
Yeah, I think Jake Paul is fighting. Jake Paul is the one that's fighting. Now, look, I'm not Mr. I love the Paul brothers, but Jake Paul is the one that's fighting Mayweather. So they had a face off. Logan Paul is the older brother. Logan Paul is the one that went into the forest. Now, these YouTube creators.
Logan Paul is fighting Mayweather.
Yeah, Logan Paul is fighting. Logan Paul, older brother.
But it says Jake Paul
is the one that just fought.
Yeah, that's what I was so confused as well.
Yeah, so Logan Paul took his hat, though.
No, Jake Paul
took the hat.
Jake Paul took the hat, okay.
Yes, Logan Paul is going to be boxing him.
Uh-huh, and Jake Paul took his hat.
Jake Paul's the brother that snatched the hat.
Oh, okay. Well, then you see how confusing this can be?
Jake Paul's the one that's the and more they look like similar. Immature, weird. He does stuff for likes, and he's part of the whole Facebook and Instagram people that are just like way younger who do stuff where we just look at them like, what the
but
hell?
But Logan Paul's the one that went to the suicide forest.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know which one was which because I don't watch any other shit.
Well, I don't watch it either, but I'm saying as far as who has a grip on the youth heavily, they both are brothers that are like really in, you know what I'm saying, in the media very much. I mean, they've done a lot of media stunts that have grabbed the eyes of, you know what I'm saying, social media. I'll say that.
I think that's why they're doing their thing. I mean, they're just, they can't really be that big of a douche, right?
Well, Triller, Triller is like hosting these legend fights and hosting fights in general right now that are pure, they're just like straight up publicity or just like wants of people that have the ideas, not for the sake of fighting. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, ooh, Morgan Freeman and fucking Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'd like to see if they could fight, but not on some like who's trained the longest. So it's like, sorry, but like there's this clout. It's pure clout shit, you know?
Yeah.
So like clout where it's like who has the biggest buzz versus who's been training all this time, who fucking really like is about it versus who's top of name right now. Now, I'm not a like super into fighting dude, but I do think that social media and clout leaking into sports is probably going to be a huge problem, you know, say, especially fighting. Mm-hmm. So that's my wrap up of that.
I tell you, the best redeeming quality I have for this is for once Floyd Mayweather is a good guy.
Right? He's like, that's true.
Floyd Mayweather found somebody that people dislike more than him. No matter how awful Floyd Mayweather is, he can't match this person. This person is so much more hated, and that's amazing.
We only hated Floyd Mayweather because, what, he bought expensive things and was flashy with it? That was it. Yeah.
No, but he was, okay, yes, he did those things, but he would flaunt it and insult other people with it, and he constantly did it just to troll people.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was trolling people, but this is, it's so funny that there's this person that people automatically are taking Floyd Mayweather's side because he's that terrible.
Yeah,
that's true. Usually Floyd Mayweather is the one that like everybody is rooting against.
Only because he's excellent and has never lost a fight.
Exactly,
more.
Which makes it so much crazier because he is undefeated, which plays into why he has the money he does. You know, like,
and he's also a terrible winner.
Oh, like, totally.
Like,
I'm not going to disagree with
there's
you.
There's a classy way, like, after you
he's incredibly good at his craft, but like, he comes across as a douche. But also, we see people on TV and their personality on TV, and like, I don't know. Like, I don't personally know the person. So until I did, I couldn't honestly say, but from the outside, it looks like he's a douche. I don't know that that's actually true, though. You know what I mean? Like, I thought you were a douche at first, too. And now we're like best friends. How do you know? I mean, he's dumb though. Floyd Mayweather comes across pretty dumb.
He can't read as the.
He sounds pretty dumb, bro.
But I also feel terrible about that. One of the things that they got in trouble for was the exact same thing that I wanted to do. I wanted to go to the suicide force. I literally just talked about this, and
I thought I told you that. I thought we told you that like there was a guy. I talked to you. About
we did
it before. I,
well,
totally
I didn't
talked
know
to you
who they
this.
Were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Know who they were.
Slightly got canceled, but not really, because canceling doesn't fucking mean shit. Like people say it, but it only matters in a certain world.
It just builds more clout.
Yeah, it really does. You're just in the dark side of negativity.
So and so got canceled, and everybody's like, "Wait, who is so and so?" And then they start looking at who that is. You know, like has the wrong effect now.
Yeah.
You sent out a link that was from Barstool Sports.
Yeah.
Showed a. An armored vehicle that was attacked. Like people were shooting at it and the driver was just, you know, moving around, trying to avoid this truck.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Not just, but dude, he's a cucumber the whole time. Like think of that. I think they're in Australia or like South Africa or something. Like I'm not too sure. Is it South Africa? But like watching the video, like, just think of being in that situation. It's you and this one other dude in this like up armored vehicle, and you've got all these cars clearly loaded with heavy weapon, like just blasting at you. And the dude's like, not only is he just driving completely calm, he's like turning around and like ramming them and shit. And like in my head, the whole time I'm thinking about it, it's like this dude's driving around. I'm like, the dude that's sitting in the passenger seat, he's calm. But, like, just kind of sitting there analyzing what's going on, you know? And then the driver's just, like, he's angry. But it doesn't even seem like he's angry that he's being shot at or he's in a high-speed pursuit of any kind. Like, to me, I'm like, that dude's pissed off about something his wife did yesterday. And, like, he's venting right now. And that's why he's turning around, like, smashing into the cars. I don't know. I just thought the video was, like, it was badass. That dude, I'd suck his dick. I think he was great.
Danny, once again, just
so gay. Sorry.
I like literally, I'm gonna call this. Yeah,
don't
this
you podcast, dare say I'm the gay. Don't guy you dare.
I'm gonna call this episode "Out the Closet," and that, there it is,
coming out.
All day, all day. Okay. The part I saw is before they even got like before anybody even started shooting at them, there was no conversation between the two of them. There was no.
They did not look like they were friends.
No, it looked like when you were in the box with somebody you absolutely dislike.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're just sitting there. You're like, "Yep, launched, boom, updates, that's it." Or like there's a UAC out there, and you're like cold bike, and you're just not even talking to them. And yeah, that's the vibe I got from them. Or like he's the new guy, and you know the guy. Not the driver, the other guy. Like he's the new guy, and he's just like, I don't want to mess up anything. I just got here. I feel like it was.
He does look like maybe he's thrown into it rapidly, right?
He's like, get the gun. He's like, pulls out his pistol. He's like, no, get the rifle. What is wrong with you? Like he's like,
yeah. I do have to point out at the end, he's like, call David or something like that, right? And he like hands the dude the, and I'm like, well, are you gonna fucking do it or not? You know, like, I don't think he ever places that phone call.
I don't know what happens with that phone call because I felt like it skipped ahead at that point.
Yeah.
But it
I don't know how it was edited and chopped down. That's true.
And then the funniest part about it is like I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, and in my brain, he's driving this massive Brinks truck.
Yep.
And then I find out it's like Toyota's shitty version of an S10 like looking thing. And it's like, oh, well, that was not the vehicle I expected it to be.
Not at all. I thought the same thing. I was like, it seemed like the thing's going really fast too when he starts accelerating. You know, I'm like, those things can get up and move. And then I realized after seeing the pictures that were in the article, I was like, oh, wow, that's not at all what I expected.
Yeah. And when he was turning, I was like, oh, this thing's about to roll over. I kept thinking that in my brain. And then, like, as soon as it, like, I saw the pictures of what it actually was.
Mark, is there any way we can link that on our Instagram page, like a link to that video?
Yeah, there's a way.
There's a way. You're gonna do it?
It's almost like basically say yes. Like, ask me. Like, don't like make this weird segue. Is there a possibility with modern technology? I don't know. I'm gonna throw words.
I mean, I don't know how to do link it. Link something. Be honest. I don't know how to do any of that internet shit.
Yeah, I can do it.
All right, we'll get that out there. Oh, man. Next topic, cicadas.
Yeah, 17. I thought every 17 years that shit was supposed to happen. Am I wrong?
Like, I don't get what's happening because for me, like, cicadas are the sound of, like, oppressive heat. Like, they're always out.
Oppressive
every summer,
heat, yeah.
You just hear that and, apparently they're like this is like there's going to be trillions of them, so it's like is it more this year or is it something different? I don't know what's going on with this.
Yeah, I don't think that's what I'm saying. I think they're trying to like close it up or something like that. What I read, this was specifically in Boston, but I don't know if it just happens maybe a different place in different time, but I swear this happened closer than 17 years ago. It happened like not even 17 years ago. I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe it's like a different breed.
There's no way that it should have happened twice in my life because I'm not 34 yet. So it's happened. And this will be the third time. You see what I'm saying? So that's just weird to me. But do you guys remember your year of the cicada? How crazy that shit was?
I went on I like reading about dumb shit. Like, for example, cicadas, after you sent that link. I went on a huge, not huge, but like I went on this long stoned rambling of like reading about these things after you sent that. But there are a bunch of different types and species of cicadas, just like anything else. And there are cicadas that come back every year. And then there's other species that have different hatching patterns that range from like, you know, 3 to 17 years. So the ones that they're talking about in this article in Boston, they are a species that is they refer to cicadas as cryptic species, right? A cryptic animal means it's got a means of hiding itself from others. Like for the cicada, it is cryptic and it is subterranean. It goes down, lays its eggs. I don't really know all about its life cycle, but it does that. And cicadas have been like around since the prehistoric time, right? They found fossils to the, like, I don't know if it was the Jurassic, Triassic, what period, but they're old as fuck, basically. And they think, scientists think what it is that they have evolved and stuck around for so long by the way that they do their breeding. And so, for example, this species that's, you know, coming out every 17 years, it comes out in trillions and trillions because as soon as they come out, all the predators that don't normally eat those things, they thrive, trillions of them, and they feed the ecosystem again. But they bring trillions of numbers knowing that they're not going to have all of their population diminished. And then they go out and then they bring their baby larva, whatever it is that births them, their new cicadas, and they plant them underground and they live there for 17 years. And it's so that no species grow to evolve and rely on cicadas in their diet, right? So I was like, that's kind of crazy that through evolution, this species has maintained its life by just going underground every 17 years. So that way, one, any predator that can potentially eat them like has a chance of dying in that period, or they're just not a reliable food source, so nothing can evolve to hunt them in specific. It was crazy to think that they also benefit the ecosystem. Every time they come out, they're giving a burst of life to everything. But we look at it and we're like, ooh, these nasty ass bugs, because they're fucking gross and are loud and they're everywhere. And like,
and they can't,
it's crazy.
They can't fly. I mean, every year, like when they come out, they move so slow at you and they just run into you. They just have no, I don't know if, you know, they can't fly well, but you're going to get ran into by a cicada. And
I don't know that there's nothing. Can't fly.
I mean, they can fly, but they just feel like they're going to, like, I have never been.
Oh, they're not good at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been underground for 17 years, Fez. What the fuck do you expect?
Well, yeah. But here's the thing, too, is there's never a worse moment because, you know, they got that loud buzzing sound and they're monstrous.
Buzz. Yeah.
And then they hit you. You're like, in your brain, you think you're getting attacked by the world's biggest bee. And you just freak out every single time. Like,
totally.
I've never.
Totally
never had
true.
A cicada run into me and not scream like, you know, like I was being eaten alive. You're terrified.
Casey, do you remember? You were on that deployment too. Do you remember all the cicadas?
No, not at all, man.
No?
Day. I
man.
Don't think
it was that
Dwyer. Cicadas in Northern California. I don't get them here either. So all I know about cicadas is everything you just said, man. Thank
wow.
you.
Thank you.
And by the way, like,
no,
this
it just
is
pointed
so
out, like,
unusual that you actually not only did you look up a topic, but you researched it. It's and
yeah,
like I was
I'm
actually like
nerd.
Learning.
That's actually interesting too. Like I like learning things. Like I don't do the TV series all that much, but like it's probably the ADHD. Like shit like that is actually interesting to me because it ties into the grand scheme of things. Like. We shit on all these things all the time, but like the littlest things matter. And it's like, it's crazy to think that like shit like dung beetles and cicadas are actually really important. And because we're like, oh, that shit's gross. Like it's nasty. But in fact, it's actually like one of the things that the world relies on. And I'm like in 2021, watch them. They're like going to be like, I'm not coming out this year. And then it's going to be a sign that we're all dead. That's dark. I shouldn't have done that.
No, it's pretty good though.
What do you think would happen? Like if cicadas didn't come out, you think that'd be a thing? Like people would all start for freaking out. Like, hey, they were supposed to be here. They didn't. Global warming. We're dead. Boom. Done. I should work for the Onion.
The Onion.
Some fake news. They were doing it before old Trumpy Bear made it all popular.
I actually heard that Hillary was the one that coined the phrase fake news. Okay, you know what? Before I put my foot in my mouth, let me go ahead and go to the Google machine.
Yeah, you know, white people made basketball.
What?
White people invented basketball, yes.
Jewish?
Yes.
I like how you say white people, like it was every white person at the time basketball was invented had a say in it. Not
how
like,
do you know they did it?
I'm just saying it was the people that made it were white.
What if there was a committee?
The white committee has brought up to the delegation that they're going to introduce a new sport.
James Naismith. That was it. He's the one who invented it.
No shit.
Not all the rules. Obviously, they've just continued to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying who coined it and then who fucking turned it into what. You know what I'm saying? It's two different things, you know?
So, yeah, he wasn't doing slam dunks from the free throw line.
Exactly. That's my point.
He wasn't out there showing the skills.
Yeah. He wasn't. So, he didn't get it. Yeah,
Hillary Clinton said fake news prior to Trump using fake news. Mm. So,
and then Trump took it and then took the cred. Shocker. Yeah. Sorry. I don't actually care about politics, so.
No, you know, I hate fake news. I do hate news. I hate news in general. I cannot stand it.
Yeah, it's just depressing.
I think all opinion-based and faked. Something I've always thought about was being in that intel field or, you know, doing ISR like we did, you have to report facts and you have to give people information that's like true or it could matter like with people's lives or things like that, right?
Totally. And I mean, so in that application, big time too.
Just the idea that people can report things that are completely that are fake false. Or opinionated is that's like crazy.
Like I remember back in the
that's
day,
a good point.
People used to talk about like slander laws, like, oh, you can't say that if it's not true because it's slander and you can get, you know, legal trouble for it. And I just feel like slander has become like jaywalking. It's like nobody cares.
No, slander is what brings people money now. Like, look at that, like Tekashi and like Jake Paul and all these people, like they're just out there talking shit, saying anything that they want to just so people will like pay attention to them, you know. Like, I think it's even worse than that.
That's true. What is the weirdest food combination that you make that you swear by but people think it's gross? And I'll go ahead and go first. When we make spaghetti, we throw on, you know, the usual red pepper flakes, the Parmesan, but then I add vinegar, nacho style jalapeno slices, and ranch. And it is the best combination there is.
Say that again.
I'd be willing to try that.
I invited people to show up to my place for Thanksgiving from Marines that like were stationed there that like were by themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Do you remember showing up to the house when I was staying at Larkin's place?
I slightly remember that. Yeah.
I just when Fez started talking about the Thanksgiving sandwich, it reminded me of that doesn't sound that bad, but
I like that you guys are saying that because most people's reaction is like horror and disgust. Like it's like we're committing some sort of crime against spaghetti.
It sounds better than a ketchup sandwich. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, so, but you know, that's my example. What's your guys' like, you swear by it. Like, this is going to be the best thing and people are so reluctant to try it.
I don't think I really have one personally. I don't make any weird food combinations. I mean, people thought it was weird I'd pull out like bread and peanut butter and honey and just whip it together in a sandwich. And I was like, I don't think that's a weird sandwich combination at all.
You know, I think that's a great combination. But what you could add to that, which is kind of
bananas,
weird, is a pickle. No, a pickle.
A pickle.
Oh,
a
pickle.
Yeah. Wow. So you just get like a can of pickles. And when you take your bite, you know, when you eat peanut butter, you're like,
second.
Man, this
you're,
is.
You're
thick.
Buying pickles thick? By the can?
No, by the jar.
Oh.
I eat canned pickles. They're cheaper that way.
Sorry, I was super interested. I was like, I want to know where these canned pickles are.
Yeah, how else do you get a pound at a time?
You need them for your peanut butter sandwiches, man.
All right, no sorry. Shit. Go ahead. Continue on your...
Well, just when you eat peanut butter, you know, it's really thick. You need something wet to kind of wash it down.
God,
you wash it down with a pickle.
You say, man, it's so hard for me not to just be like, what is he doing right now? When you're just, is it the pickle thing? I don't know. Whenever I get to DT Dub, anytime I think of that and like pickles and hot dogs, and anytime you bring that up, I can't take you serious. But you actually eat, like you slice it up and throw it in the sandwich, or you take a bite of the sandwich and then bite of the pickle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you chase a sandwich with a pickle.
Mm-hmm. That's the best way.
It's weird you say that, because I went to a bar last night to go get some food and a drink, and they had this shot they call a dickle pickle. And I was like, fuck it, I'll give it a shot. And they bring out like a shot of whiskey with like a slice of pickle and then a shot of pickle juice. And you're supposed to eat the pickle slice, take the shot of whiskey, and then drink the pickle juice. And I swear to God, it's the most effective chaser I've ever experienced. Like, I'm not huge on pickles, but if you haven't tried a dickle pickle, you got to do it just to see like how effective it is at getting rid of the aftertaste.
So my wife made me start throwing away pickle juice and jalapeno juice.
Because just drink it?
I would just drink it. So I do love pickle juice and jalapeno juice because it's amazing. Like, you're feeling, you're thirsty. You don't want to drink water or almond milk or whatever you got. And you don't have any, like, you know, like something different, like a juice. I'm like, oh, there's some pickle juice. And I just drink it like it's a... like it's an actual drink.
I want to roast you for it, but I can't. I did that as a kid. It's not my thing anymore, but I used to drink all the juice. I let the pickles sit in there with no juice because I just drink the juice, and then they'd like just ruin the pickles for everybody.
I've seen that happen in my household. Yes. So I'm not even gonna, I can't even get mad at you for that, because but I like to leave.
You come there and you're like, wait a minute, the pickles are halfway out of the juice. Who's been doing it?
Yeah. Or it's like, I got, you know, an inch above the pickle line or the jalapeno lines. I get an inch worth of juice to pour into a cup and drink it. So I try to keep the pickle juice line right above the line of the jar.
just to the top of the tallest pickle.
Yes.
Just above it.
Exactly. And you know what? That pickle is the first on the list. I'm going to get that pickle and eat it so I got more juice.
Oh.
Mark, what do you got? What do you got for weirdness?
I'll do there's a barbecue, you know, there's a barbecue. I'll do like coleslaw and baked beans together. And
not weird.
Okay, like I just
not weird.
I'll mix my yams and mac and cheese together.
Ooh, that's
a little weirder. Little weirder.
Mix my religion and politics. No, it's like I'll mix my. I'll eat everything together on a plate, man. So I just don't know. Like it just like, dude, everything goes together, but not
you
everything.
Just hodgepodge it?
I hodgepodge a lot of shit, man.
My brother, he swears by this, and him and my dad used to do this. They would eat spaghetti with like old spaghetti with like a fresh over easy egg. Like throw it right on top and then just eat it that way.
That is insecure. Have you got there's this Facebook page, and it's called like Crimes Against Food or like Unholy Foods or something like that. Oh my God, dude, these people like made like Listerine baked beans, dude.
Oh yeah, that's something that no one can enjoy.
Yes,
things you can enjoy.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Things you can actually that you find pleasant. I like things are just like I can't think right on my mind. You know when there's like all these different leftovers in the house and like yes. You piece them together and put them all on one plate and somehow it's fucking amazing. I can't even think of that plate right now.
Oh, it's like the after Thanksgiving sandwich.
That goes together though. That's been on like Bon Appetit magazine, like you know.
Yeah.
But
people plan that shit out.
Yes.
I don't eat the beets. Or sorry, not the beets, the cranberry. Until it's the next day in the sandwich.
Mm.
That's when I actually will eat that. I'll take a slice of it and just like, mm.
When it's all gelatinous.
Yes, I don't get like, I'm not a white person on the East Coast. Cranberries were never prevalent in Wyoming. So it's not like we could get like, oh, you don't eat fresh cranberries. Like, no, we eat the smudge from the can.
I'm not a white like person every... on the East Coast.
Let's not make this about race.
So darkened. So that's like, sorry, it's terrible because I went to North Carolina and, you know,
no, with all, everybody there like after being over there. It's not just white people. I think like if you go anywhere around a prestigious area on the East Coast, people are just that way. I mean, even parts of D.C., and D.C. can be pretty ratchet. Like, but there's parts you go to where you're like, oh, my God, everybody here is a snob, you know?
Yeah, and looking down on me on my cranberry sludge that we've had everything.
And my cranberry sludge out of turkey sandwich.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and the worst part was, is the first time I went to, like, somebody's, you know, house on Thanksgiving, and I'm looking for it. Like, where is the tubular gelatinous mess that you throw on a plate? I'm looking for that and I couldn't find it. Like, oh, this is a fresh, like, like cranberry poutine or whatever they called it.
Speaking of Thanksgivings, did we already talk about Mark showing up when I was living at Larkin's place? We're getting ready, and it was me and Maria were the only ones there at the time, and we're getting the turkey ready. And we were staying with this guy, Richard, and we're like, hey, is it okay if we have a Thanksgiving at your place? Because he had flown home, I think, to like, he was from Oklahoma or Kansas or something to go visit his family. So when we went to make this turkey, the oven had caught fire. And it was like, it caught fire on the inside like 2 minutes before Mark and everybody had showed up to the house. And I remember hearing the knock on the door, and I go over and I open the door and I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? And they're like, hey, what's up? I'm like, hey, sorry, come on in, but I got to go to the kitchen because the oven's on fire. And they were like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're like laughing. Yeah, I remember you guys laughing, and like you walked in, you were like, oh, shit, like it's actually on fire. I'm I just don't know how to put it out right now.
Yeah. No, you answered and we're just like, hey, sorry, man, my house is on fire, man. Hey. And like, well, that's kind of what you said. And we're like, what the fuck? Like,
that was just a funny memory to me.
That was like some WandaVision shit. Very much so. No,
I remember being a little too calm at that moment. I was like, I need to panic now because I couldn't get the fire to go out. And then you guys knocked and I tried to calm myself again. It was just weird.
I like the fact that there's an actual fire in the kitchen and you took time to answer the door like, oh, I'm a host. I'm not trying to be rude.
It was like that. It was like that. Yes. And, like, there's still this whole homage of, you know, wonderful dining and dinner party going on.
The appetizers are still out, but let me.
Yes. Swedish meatball, anyone? While there's an inferno in the back. Yeah, that was funny.
Well, here's an interesting topic. If Steve Jobs was alive and we had.
Shut the fuck up. One shit question. Have you ever had an odd sex request or been propositioned to do something that you weren't willing to do?
I was going to hang out with this girl that I had met when I was in Florida doing a mission, and I went out there to go visit her, and she's like, hey, do you want to go out for the night? And she took me to, I think they call it like the Gaslamp District of San Diego. Cool little spot that I had never been to, but like it was busy, right? And I don't really like big crowds or anything like that. So the first bar she takes us to, it's like nut to butt in there. Like you're standing shoulder to shoulder, can barely sip your drink. And like we're not even in the establishment. We're in like the little alley of the back portion. And it's just crammed and loud. And she's like, hey, like, do you guys want to go somewhere else? Like I'd rather go to a different place. And I'm like, yeah, like, I don't want to just stand in one spot with shoulder to shoulder with all these people. And she's like, well, the only place that's not going to be so crowded is one of the gay bars. There's a really big one right down the way. And I was like, well, let's go there. So we get out, we go to the gay bar. It's like, I don't know, 5 minute walk or whatever. I'm probably way too hammered to judge time.
I gotta interrupt. I like how you're like pretending like this is her idea. based on this entire podcast, I feel like
it was probably my idea. I mean,
okay.
I didn't know. I just said I'd rather go to a place that's not so crowded. And she's like, the only place like that is going to be a gay bar. And we were out with a dude that was one of her gay friends. So he was like, yeah, he knew all the spots. So we went to this gay bar. This girl like walks up and talks to me. She's like, hey, can I ask you something? And I'm like, yeah, go ahead, you know? And she's like, are you straight? And I'm like, kind of proud, you know? I'm like, yeah, you know, thank you for noticing. And she's like, my boyfriend and I were wondering if you'd want to come home with us. And I'm just like, oh God, like that went south in my, immediately in my head. I'm like, I'm running through it. You know, I'm like, well, like, what does this guy want to do? You know, like, does he just want to, and then this girl comes running over. Cause I started having a conversation with this girl about this. And then the girl that had invited me out for the night comes running over and she's like, excuse me, what are you doing? And I'm like, I was talking to this girl about her and her boyfriend, you know, and she's like, gets really mad. And then her friend, the gay guy, was like, well, are you fucking him or not? Because he's got a proposition. And it was just one of the funniest things ever. But like, basically I turned down that request because I thought it was really weird. And if I'm being honest, maybe I just turned it down because I was too drunk to process it. But have you ever had something like that? Somebody ever asked you to do something like sexual that you were like, nope, sorry, just can't do it? Or have you ever been propositioned with something you just weren't willing to do because it made you feel too uncomfortable?
I was not born with what you would call good looks. So no.
No? Not, you've never had one time where somebody was like, hey, can I shove a finger in your butt or something weird?
Yes, this happened to me. Well, yeah, since we're all going to be quiet, yeah.
Yeah.
Girls are all
okay.
Fed, did it take you that long to process that? Like, you've never, not one time?
No, I'm not even processing.
Okay, I mean, it was just a simple no. There's nothing weird sexual has ever happened.
The whole time I've been thinking about this question, I've been thinking about females asking me things, and you're talking about a guy wanting to do something with you, and that threw off my mind.
No, it was the chick. The chick wanted, I don't know what they wanted was the thing. Like, I never got that far into it. I was trying to ask what she meant when the girl that invited me out for the night interrupted, you know what I mean? So I don't know what the proposition ever was. I basically got cut short. So I was wondering if you guys had any of them.
If you had to assume what it was, what would you assume it was?
I mean, I don't know. Like, it could, people are into weird shit, right? Like,
probably a threesome. Let's just be real.
It could be a threesome, but like, is it a threesome where it's like, or is it some weird like, hey, her boyfriend wants to like watch me fuck his girl, or like, I don't know, like,
probably
that's why I'm trying to ask. I'm trying to ask questions so I can make an informed decision.
This whole conversation is making me realize how absolutely ugly I am. No one, men, women, nothing is propositioning me. This is terrible.
This is terrible. Mark, what's some of yours? I know you've had some.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely like a couple being like, oh, hey, you want to come home? You know, something like that situation. Definitely, you know, girl asked me if she could peg me. That's a thing.
That's a thing. Well, did you do it?
No, I didn't do that. No.
No? How'd you let her down? You just no, or did you guys talk about it?
Oh, she I was really immature about it. This is so lame, but she was like, okay, well, if we're gonna be doing, you know, having sex consistently, and she was like, how many people do you have sex with? And I was like, oh, this many people. She's like, and how many people? She was like, and I have sex with two other people, so you know, we should all get tested. And then I just like never got tested. Now, I've gotten tested several times since then. This was fucking years ago, but I just was very lazy, or like, just, I don't know what it was, but I just didn't move to go get it done because it was like, bitch, what are
you worth it?
The pussy?
Yeah.
Or it's not really.
It wasn't worth all the effort. You're
not
like,
really,
I got
to
go and do all this
shit. Well, also, you're asking me to, you want to do that. Like, you want to
do that. I don't really want to do that, but you're kind of not taking my no almost. You're like, well, okay, you're saying it now, but maybe we'll work into it still. And it's like, I'm not really that into you to go down a sexual journey with you like that, if you get what I'm saying. So this is, I'll just let this sizzle out, you know?
I'll slowly let it fizzle and die.
I've had girls ask, like, you know, you want to do the open thing? That type of shit. In bed. What? Oh, I've had girls be like, can I be a doll? Can I act like a doll?
Okay. What?
Yeah, just like, can I lay here still and you just treat me like you would if I was a sex doll?
No shit.
Yeah. Would you guys be into something like that?
I mean, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Fez?
No one's ever asked me.
Fez is traditional. That's what I'm learning. So, Fez is fat, ugly, and traditional. Like, he's never experimented.
This conversation just makes me feel like even worse about myself. They're like, oh, yeah, all the time. These girls asking me this.
No, but you got married at like 27. You got married at 27, right?
I did. And
okay, well, then that was out. You put yourself out the game fast. It was probably about to happen. It's probably just about to go down, you know?
I was 24 is when I met my wife. So, yeah.
Oh, dude, you jumped out the game.
Yeah,
quick.
Man.
Yeah. So I think I jumped out of the game probably before, like, entering the late 30s where people were getting weird. I think I jumped out before then. Like, I had kids and it's like, meh. I mean, the fact to be able to have the time, it's like, that's the most amazing part. It's like, oh, we got 15 minutes. This person's gone. This person's here. We got 15 minutes, and that's the bulk of like of a proposition.
Pretty much, yes.
It's always like, do we got time? Oh no, we gotta get ready. Nope, it's not gonna work today. It's like, ah, damn.
Makes
sense.
Sounds
exciting.
That's it. So, you guys keep at like, I want to contribute to this, but I can't. All right, guys, I think I got to get going. So let's go ahead and wrap this up.
Now I'm the closing guy?
Yeah, you close.
Wow. All right, everybody. I appreciate you listening to this episode of Redeeming Qualities. Casey, thank you so much for showing up today. I wish we had a little more time and could have got into some more stories. I'm Dirty Ass Danny, Musty Mark, and Fat Ass Fez, and we're out.
Well, later. Peace.